This is the Sounding Board Podcast with Hutchie and Damo. Thanks to Drinkwise. If you're choosing to have a drink, choose to Drinkwise.
It's question time on the Sounding Board for Drinkwise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to Drinkwise. We're going to have a Craig's carry-on focus to question time today. I'll start with Jet Set Julia via email. I fly business where possible. I usually have checked in addition to carry on. However, on a recent flight to Indonesia, I decided to go carry on only. What a disaster. I had a small hard case and a small backpack. The check-in staff advised me I would have to check my suitcase in as I could only take one item of baggage on board. I asked to speak to management, who said it was their policy and nothing could be done. Needless to say, I wasn't impressed. How would you have dealt with this situation?
Well, Julia, first of all, I have full empathy for you, but a lot of errors in this strategy of yours that we need to address. First of all, check-in staff are to be avoided at all costs. So don't check in, don't go to the check-in at all.
But when the problem exists or arises,
always remotely check in, because you're removing one degree of obstacle of someone's opinion all the time. So remote check-ins are a must on phones at all times. Anytime you're saying, please print me out a boarding pass, you are five times increasing your probability of being shut down. You need to remove that obstacle.
This is good.
The second thing is this. I always prepare the counter argument of the two bag must become one before I enter an airport, because there is a 1 in 20 or 30 chance it happens. And the way to get around it is this. The small backpack and the small hard case, one of those has to be able to go in the other. There's no rule that says you have to be able to zip it up, it has to fit, or any of those things. You merely need to be able to create the perception that it is one bag, not two. So in the States...
But I thought you were allowed like a handbag, or a backpack in this case, and a carry-on.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter what you are and aren't allowed. When the heat goes on, you don't often win.
And that's what this issue is about.
So I'll give you an example of what I do, Julia. I take often a suit bag, which has got, you know, maybe you'd... Like, you know, you zip up down the middle suit bag.
It's got everything but a suit.
Yeah, like you'd get from the dry cleaner. Because then if you get rolled, you can always stuff your laptop inside the suit bag and stuff a few things in. And then, sure enough, it's a god-awful carry-on, huge conglomerate of a thing, but it's one bag. And you might, and I've been able to stare that down many times. So yep. Don't see the check-in staff in any circumstances.
All right. Lessons there for you.
Be prepared to put one bag in the other.
Yep.
And don't even worry about being able to zip it up.
Yep. Now, lessons there to be learnt there, Julia. Sean on email, I'm an explosives supplier to mining companies in WA. I always wear my company shirt and use the company backpack as carry-on through airports. I never get stopped for a swap. Maybe they just look at me, see the logo, figure it's not worth the hassle.
Perception's everything. I like that strategy.
Yep.
I think any way you can upskill your perception on the way through is good. Yep.
David on email, as someone who flies every week, I've been loving Craig's carry-on. Very relatable. I could rattle off so many things about security, but I've got a couple of favourites. Number one, pet hate. The slow unpacker and packer. There should be a special place in hell for anyone who holds up the conveyor belt.
Yep. True. Yep. I agree with that. One thing I do, David, is not many people address people take stuff out of the trays and then the remaining trays just drift off into the wilderness. They're like a trolley at a supermarket, right?
Yep.
They just get drift off into the wilderness. If you show yourself repeatedly to be a stacker, you do pre-build goodwill among the X-ray security mob who go, I reckon over time they go, oh, he's a stacker, so we'll be letting,
another pet hate of David, the vengeful check-in person. I fly regionally and have a running feud with a check-in person. He made me check my carry-on for 0.5 kilos overweight, and of course I argued back. This bloke now singles me out and looks for reasons to check my bag every week. I've cracked the code, though. Show it to them once they've started boarding and walk straight to the gate so they have no time to weigh the bag. Fair to say he's not happy.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I'm not sure where your check-in dude is. If your check-in dude is before you've gone through X-ray security, you have to eliminate those people from your life. Never, ever, 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 if you can avoid it, talk to a check-in person, because it does increase the error. You've got to merely check-in remotely. Here's a question from Rick Peterson via Facebook. Is Nine threatened by Seven airing new football content? What do both think about the new shows? Brackets love the beard demo.
I've watched the bit of the Seven show. I watched the first one anyway when I got home from doing my own
footy
classified. Yeah, footy classified on Wednesday. You know I love JB.
Yep.
Yeah. Oh, look, I'm glad they got a show, because they've had
good
one. Oh, it's different. It's not combative. Well, I didn't think it was combative on show one. I didn't see last week's, by the way, because I was on here at the same time.
Yeah. But, is it TV Gym or Radio Gym?
No, it's Channel 7 Gym.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen it? Obviously not.
We've got we're on Monday nights, and what, it's Monday night, isn't it?
No, Wednesday.
Oh, Wednesday Talking Footy. Yep. Mm. No, I haven't seen it. Yep. I haven't seen the Wednesday of either show, to be fair. I've been we had a basketball final last week and a few other things to deal with, so I haven't had a chance yet.
Yep. David on email, football commentators way too precious and forget how good they've got it. Hearing commentators say, quote, there is too much football, quote, playing an extra week of football is too much, season is too long, etc. Funny thing is, when they're saying this, they're saying it to an audience of people whom football is the highlight of their week, who love nothing more than to watch / follow the game for a living.
Yep.
There's an element of that. I hear David's sentiment in that email, and I'm not saying I've never done it, because I have. But there is an element of that, that we in the media look at it very differently to the way the person in the street does, because of the logistics of the broadcast.
Just choice. Just great choice.
Yeah. I do though think it's on an edge where it could be getting too long the season, and that's for reasons that don't relate to the work.
I disagree.
Okay. Now, I should have discussed this in the main body, but I'm going to do it right now. And Crow Kissel on X is the prompter of it. Hutchie and Tim Payne's stoush over the Perth Tassie dobbing incident. Now, this is the email from Craig, or sorry, the message from Craig on X. As a Tasmanian, I'm disappointed with the Wildcats ownership and the NBL. As a sports fan and sports media observer, I'm impressed that the Tassie SEN team can vent their disappointment with their station owner without fear or favour. Nicely done.
Yeah, so Brent Costello and Tim Payne took full aim at me and the Wildcats on Monday morning on the SEN Tassie breakfast show.
It was a bit on, wasn't it?
And yeah, it was fiery. And
I saw it on social media.
And that's, you know, Tim and Brent doing what they should do, which is representing their state on their show with their views. So that's their view, wasn't mine. But did you
have a little word with Tim after it?
I didn't know. I actually thought it was absolutely their right to what happened was a far cry from what happened. Was a far cry from how it was portrayed in Tassie and upset the Wildcats team.
Okay.
But the Tassie breakfast team are entitled to react however they see fit.
As the Perth breakfast team would have done if it had been the other way around.
Yeah. Yep. That's like we don't have a – we have a very broad church among our shows.
And he seems to be warming very nicely into his media career too.
He is.
Steve Ballinger, X, is the AFL score review system the most embarrassing in world sport? Goal umpires look afraid to now make a decision, and the technology is terribly grainy and pixelated every time. How can it be this hard to fix the problem? It's still a mess. It's a mess on so many levels in my eyes, Hutchie, and I'm probably talking about a mess that's different to what Steve's raising, but I get the need to get it right, but to Steve's point, the technology has to assist that getting it right. And the constant now referring an incident or a moment or a play to the review office, it's slowing down the game to a point where the whole premise of the game was meant to be sped up, and the ability of a team to take the ball from that position immediately without waiting for a goal umpire to even signal. It's at a crucial juncture, this situation right now.
Yeah, I would only review goals, and points can only be reviewed in the last quarter.
That's in the last 5 minutes.
Like the last quarter. So first three quarters, you can't review anything that's perceived to be.
If it's I don't mind that as a starting point.
So the Max Scorn incident.
Oh,
is it a point or a mark? Well
who cares?
Yeah, a point's insignificant in the game. And an early part of the game. In the last quarter, a point might mean a lot.
And for those listening to this saying, well, you know, if the game's won or lost by a point, that does make a difference. But so too is the miss at goal from the player from 5 metres out. Yep. So too is the other missed goal umpiring decision. So too is the missed free kick not pay. It all adds up. And I'm with you. And if it's slowing it down to the point of actually affecting the spectacle, which it is in my eyes at times.
And I would just add, so I'd take the points out of bounds and maybe even the touches out of the equation for the first three quarters. But I maybe give the coaches one challenge each just to offset a little bit.
So that slows it down again.
Well, only one, so.
Yeah. Let's have a quick look for one or two.
I think the coaches' challenge in basketball is one of the most theatrical parts of the game.
It's a TV sport, though.
Well, television's a TV sport. Sorry. AFL's a TV sport.
It's as much a spectator sport as a TV.
All the money comes from television.
Yeah, no, where the money comes from, but I'm talking about the actual link to it. Yep. Let's do one more. I'll try to get away from topics we've discussed here. Yep. E-wing fighter pilot via X. The salary cap in NFL skyrocketing and the top players getting paid much more and more each year are the top players in the AFL underpaid. I feel like the highest paid player salary hasn't moved in decades. Couldn't agree more with E-wing fighter pilot there. It's the best players in the game are the ones who have been lost out, the ones who have lost out to
they need to be paid more.
The wages rise.
That was the sounding board questions for DrinkWise. If you're choosing to drink, choose to DrinkWise.
Thanks for listening to the Sounding Board Questions with Hutchie and Damo. Send us your questions via Twitter or Facebook at Sounding Board EP. Hit the sign up button on Facebook to receive our weekly email and subscribe to, rate and review the show wherever you listen to podcasts.